Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Philosopher's Stone podcast, yet again, coming at you hot and fast, slippery and greasy. I am Jordan Strauss. Sam Laboon is laughing. I don't know what. But welcome.
Yeah, great adjective choices there. Slippery, greasy, hot and fast.
Yeah.
That's flaming pig.
We're the equivalent of a pig roast in Hawaii.
A luau, I think.
This is the luau of podcasts. Yeah. And we're going. We're doing it. We're still doing it. And I'm loving it.
Hey, that's life, right?
It is life. Life goes on and on and on.
Journey, the band?
No. It was that one featuring Pitbull.
Oh,
and it goes on and on and on.
Ah.
Oh, I throw my hands up in the air sometimes singing, Ayo, gotta let go. This was back when I was 19. Mm. This song was super popular.
Gotta Shazam that.
Featuring Pitbull, so that's all you gotta know.
I was thinking of the Journey song, It Goes On and On. Strange, you know?
No, I don't know that one. But I do remember the song I was talking about used to be played a lot at Flashbacks Nightclub, which was I can't even believe it was a legal place. Very loose on the ID checking back in the day, but they always closed with the last song of the night was always that Journey song. You know, their famous one. Fuck, my brain is so not working.
More Than a Feeling?
No, what? That's Boston, you crazy bitch.
I know. I'm just messing with you.
Small Town Girl.
Believer.
Don't Stop Believing. That's what it is. They ended every night. That's what the lights would come on and that song would play. And
amazing choice.
All of the people that were supposedly 19 years old would be blackout hammered at that point. Good times. Absolutely. That place was hot and greasy. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think I was there once, and it was pretty nasty.
Yeah, a relic. It used to be everybody would go there every Saturday night no one would even ask what the plan is on Saturday. It's like everybody's going to Flashbangers.
Flashbangers, oh my God. Have you ever been to a place like that, like now, like since, like 10 years later?
I mean, I feel like all the old nightclubs like that are gone.
Or like, I mean like a super crowded place where it's like a younger crowd.
It's been a long time since I've been
insane.
Like a nightclub, like a dance club. It's been a while.
It's insane. I hate it so much. Oh my God. There's no point in going.
We're way too old to be in that place.
It was like a year ago.
You were still too old.
Well, no, I know exactly. Like this was my ex's friend's birthday party. This was her idea. It was to go limo hopping to all these clubs.
Yeah,
they were just so crowded you couldn't move inside.
Oh, that sucks. I've never gone to a dance club with my wife. So it's been like nearly 6 years at least since I've been to a dance club. But it's probably been more like 8-9 years.
Terrible.
I'll probably
forgotten.
Back. No, you got to do it once every 5 years. That would be a good time. Keep you young.
There's nothing good about those places. Nothing good.
It's sad. It's a sad thing to see these old relic establishments going. I don't know if you saw the news. Oh yeah, you did.
I did see that. Yeah.
That is really
Dakota's Comedy Club.
The end of a goddamn era in the Kelowna comedy scene. That place has been the staple of comedy in this city for over a decade. Five shows a week.
So it's getting torn down? Condos? Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. Just like
Christ.
Every other place that's cool in the city, it's just high-rises and condos and then little retail shops at the bottom. But this place was the place to go if you were starting in comedy because they had the best open mic night in the city, in like the province probably at least.
in the now, world.
No. Nowadays, it's like one of the best in the province. I would contend that. But
oh, it's better than anything in anything I've ever seen anywhere else. For an open mic? Oh,
yeah. I think it's pretty rare to get an open mic night consistently packed with audience members, not just other comics.
Yeah. No, that's like unheard of.
Yeah. And then so we do 5 shows a week there. There's no other venue in town that will do that. There's no way. So this is really the end of an era, unless, you know, something else opens up. You know, I'd like to believe that when one door closes, another one opens, but it's hard to see where this other door would open in this case.
Hmm. Yeah. Man, I don't know, like, where you could replace that. It had its own dedicated room and everything. That place has so many regulars, too. Like, where are they going to go?
Oh, I know. That I feel so bad for those old drunks that are there every night. Like, I don't know where they're going to go. And also, like, they're just... It's the vibe of that venue is, like, perfect for novice comedians because there's, like... The owners don't give a shit about any complaints, you know? Like you could freely try your material without fear of like offending the audience for the most part.
Yeah, it's the best place to start comedy. And
yeah,
it's damn shit. Well, they'll find another place. Maybe the bowling alley, for example.
The bowling alley. I mean,
that would be hell doing a set and like hearing pins.
I mean, what if they could eliminate the bowling alley and just turn it into a real comedy club? That'd be
amazing.
I feel like the best outcome possible would be the owner of Dakota's and Dave Kopp, who runs the comedy lounge in the back, team up to open a legit comedy club.
That would be incredible. That would put Kelowna on the map in a big way.
And like where all these extra high rises with residential suites and condos, like where lots more people moving here, they're gonna have nothing to fucking do in this town.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But part of me thinks that the owner of Dakota's is probably just gonna want to retire,
move to Mexico.
Yeah, maybe
put their money offshore. Yep.
Who knows?
The rest of us starve. You know,
there is a demand. The demand is here for live comedy. So when there's a demand, it will be filled somehow, somewhere, by someone.
The hole will be filled.
The hole shall be filled. It just sucks because this was such a great environment to get to develop as a new comedian, and now it's gone. And now all the other venues are like, you need to be good already to perform there for the most part.
Man. So what's going to, when's it happening? When's it taking place? Do you know?
I would assume there's at least another year before demolition starts. Like these things move, like the propositions haven't even been closed yet. So it's not like anything's set in stone, but like once the developers and the owners decide that this is going to happen, it's only a matter of time. Mm.
We got to get a Greta Thunberg down here and chain ourselves to the comedy club.
Yeah, that would be great.
That would be our way to survive.
I'm going to be going there for open mic tonight. It's probably going to be a sad vibe there tonight, but whatever.
Nah, it's going to be like a wake.
Things change.
Is it treated like a wake? Like you get have fun because it's dead. You're dancing on its corpse.
I will be looking forward to when there is a date where this is the last week that they're open. That's going to be crazy because there's that... That place is host to like 3 subcultures. That's the rugby guys, the regulars, the fight people, the UFC fight people, and the comedians. All living in the same ecosystem.
It's a hub. It's a real hub.
Yeah.
Damn. So that place will be wild.
I feel like all those groups of people are going to show up and tear that place apart on the last week, I feel like. So that'd be fun.
Oh my God. Because it's going to get demolished, so they really will tear it apart.
I really do hope that they have just a blowout weekend where like everyone that's ever been impacted by that place goes and just slams a bunch of greasy pilsners back for old time's sake.
Nothing like a greasy pilsner. Well, should we jump into the topics?
Yes.
For today? All right. Well, I hope we can do this one, but have you watched the 3 Body Problem series on Netflix?
No, not yet, but I've heard it's quite good.
Okay. Are you okay? Because now I've watched it, so now I feel like I know more about it. Can we talk about it, or do you need freedom from spoilers?
I mean, I know the entire series. I don't know. I know they've made some changes to the show, but I don't.
Okay, so we don't have to talk too much about the show then.
Whatever. I don't really care. Like, I'll watch it eventually. I know the story. I know all the plot points. I don't think they're going to add a bunch of twists that aren't in the story.
Okay, that's true. Okay, so we can talk about the plot points. Mm. And I think these are all in the story.
So you've been watching this?
I watched it. I watched the whole thing. I watched it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's good because I don't know if I can tell you that. But anyway, I kind of know all about, even though it's only the first season and there will be multiple seasons.
Yeah.
I think I know elements of all three of the books from just the first season.
Yeah, I did hear that they are taking things from all three books and putting them in the first season because certain events that you read about in the third book were happening at the same time as the events in the first book.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay. So I like thought of some things that are interesting because there's so many things because they're mixing all the books together.
Yeah.
But bunch of things to talk about. I guess we could start with one of the early ones. And they show that this is in very early on in the show. I don't know. I can't remember if this is early on in the book or not. But this is in China. And in the show, the character's name is Yi Wanji.
Mm-hmm.
And she is just like the daughter of this professor who the communists execute.
Yeah. That's literally the very first paragraph in the books.
Yeah. Okay. And so she winds up as like a hostage basically at this radar installation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first subject. So they get first contact from aliens at this radar installation.
Right.
Alternate universe, the wow signal. They figured out it was from an alien civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And she, because she hates she hates humanity for what they did to her parents and so many other people.
Yeah, she just believes that humanity as a whole is generally tends to act out in horrific evil ways.
Yeah, and this is she like sees them killing all the birds and stuff with the radar and they get they decipher the message and it says something like, don't reply to the message because we will wipe you out if you reply.
Yeah. I forget exactly. Cause I think they send out.
They're sending out their own message, which is like, hello world. Like OJ Simpson, like, hello Twitter world.
RIP. So wait, so the aliens are sending messages first?
No, the humans are all sending messages out.
Right, right. And then the response is do not reply.
Yeah, don't stop. Like, stop replying. Yeah, don't reply to this. Because my people or my kind will come and they will conquer you.
Yeah, so first contact was actually with a sympathetic alien.
Yeah. But Yi Wenji, she hates humans. And so she hears this and she's like, oh, they're superior to us. They'll come and conquer us. Sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so she replies, like, here we are. Come and get it.
Yeah.
And that like kicks off the whole events of the story because the aliens send their fleet to kill and wipe out Earth.
And that alien, the initial alien, gets reprimanded, I remember, in the books by
superiors.
Yeah.
Slap on the wrist or fired or what happens?
I think he gets dehydrated.
Oof.
Do they talk about that?
I can't remember. Yes, the dehydration stuff is in there through the game.
Yeah. I forget if that's what happens or if they let him keep working. I forget.
Dehydrate. Yeah. So I wanted to wonder, like, do we sympathize or did you sympathize at all with her decision to do that? And specifically, if you were in her shoes, would you have done the same things she did?
Probably not, just because I do think that if you take a kind of a macro view of humanity, they are trending towards more peaceful societies in general. Like certain parts of the world are just kind of they're kind of fucked. Like I was watching this great
Kamloops.
This YouTube, there's this kid who on YouTube has a channel. He's very smart. He used to be super religious, and now he's like an atheist type guy, right? So he just discusses a lot of religious stuff on his YouTube channel. He was discussing the Dune movies.
Nice.
And he talked about this thing that he didn't come up with this, but it's called, it's like a feedback loop that where violence causes people to become more religious, and more religious people become more prone to war. But the more you experience war, the more prone you are to becoming more religious. So it's like a feedback loop.
Interesting.
And certain parts of the world are clearly caught in that. But lots of parts in the world that used to be extremely violent are not anymore. So I feel like generally there is an uptrend of society and humanity becoming more enlightened and peaceful. So that, in my mind, would make me, I would feel like it would be super, super wrong to take away the chance of that trend continuing just because of what happened to me in my country.
Mm-hmm. Even if you saw your dad get killed on stage in front of a mob, well, your mom was like, yeah, you deserve it.
Well, of course I can't speak to how that would actually affect me, but I would hope to think that I could, even then I could, because she was an adult, right? She was like she was like past middle age when she sent this message out, wasn't she?
In the show, she's like, I think I'd say in her 20s, like young adult.
When she sends the message?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I forget how old she is in the books, but she had at least a decade to essentially process what happened with her dad and her mom before condemning humanity to annihilation.
Mm-hmm. But during that time, she's a political prisoner as well.
True. That is true. I don't know. How am I supposed to speak to that realistically if I've never even come close to feeling anything like that? But
yeah. Now here's a flip side to that question. So the alien who says don't come and kill, don't reply to this message, will wipe you out. In a sense, he's also condemning his entire species to destruction because they need to escape.
Yeah. Yeah, he
so
is.
What's so
they're
the
both
difference?
Doing, they're both yeah. doing the same thing.
So what's the difference? Do we sympathize like with either of them here? Or like is he also wrong to do that? To say, don't reply to this message, we'll come and conquer you.
I mean,
is he betraying,
I guess,
his species as well?
He is betraying his species, but I mean, his species is going to need to commit a huge genocide in order to survive. And then some people, that's not ethical. I mean, to that alien, it definitely wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's another question. Oh, yeah, because they need to. That's another thing that the show reveals. So, yeah, we can transition. So that's an interesting question. They both kind of betray their species. Socrates would say, yes, they are both right to do that because their species intend harm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're acting to prevent harm. So I'd say Socrates would probably say they were right to do that, even though it'll mean the end of their whole species.
But
their souls will survive, so it's okay.
I find it surprising that that alien had that type of independent, I guess, thought and action within them, because if I recall, they're kind of very much kind of like a homogenous species, as in they're all on the same page for the most part, and they don't, I don't know if they reveal this in the show yet, but the aliens don't have the ability to lie.
Yeah, they did reveal that on the show. Yeah.
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 So it's surprising to me that someone would, because like it was kind of being dishonest, because obviously it was its job was to locate other planets, and then
it
sort of lies by, I mean, it's not technically a lie, but it goes against its mandate to help to save its own species. So I found that to be like an unusual act of independence when it comes to the they have a different name in the show than in the books. I've heard that.
Yeah, they do. It's a Chinese name.
Just call them the aliens.
It means the same thing. It's like, it means Trisolaran is like three suns, and Santi is also three suns, I think.
Oh, okay. Because
sun is three.
I know them as the Trisolaran, so.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting, like, both of them doing this, because this is also juxtaposed with them, this motif from the book Silent Spring, which is about the extinction of bird species from pesticides, I think. But the quote is, "In nature, nothing exists alone." And I think this is the idea that everything's connected holistically. But it's interesting that they're talking about like species extinction and stuff when there's like two worlds, and one of them, it seems like one of them's got to go.
Right.
And this is like a mass, someone's going to have a mass extinction event and all their biodiversity will be gone. Who's it going to be? And the reason she says, "Come and kill us," is because she thinks if they strike Earth, they will wipe out the humans while preserving the biodiversity and preserving nature.
Ah, right.
And allow the planet to flourish.
She also think that if they have the ability to come here, they're already so much more advanced to us than us, that they must be more of a enlightened species? There's some of that coming into play, I think, too.
Yeah, they don't have like internal strife.
Right. There's not a bunch of conflict on their planet. It's been like almost a year and a half since I've read those books, but
yeah,
I'll have to reread them, I think.
Yeah, so I think basically she wants them to come because she thinks humans will destroy the world and they need to be stopped. And their world is going to be destroyed anyway, so they might as well come here and take this one.
Right. Should we explain why their world is going to be destroyed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's like, it's pretty easy to understand. Yeah, but they have three suns, and the orbits are unpredictable to the extent that they don't know if they're going to be extremely close to the sun and so burn up and die from heat or even from gravity from the sun ripping the planet apart, or if they're going to be flung out far, far, far away from all three suns and freeze to death.
Yeah. And so their civilization has learned this ability to dehydrate themselves and basically go into a state where they can survive extreme temperatures. But every time one of these extreme events happens, their entire society has to start over from scratch because basically everything on the surface gets destroyed.
Yeah. So I don't know if they go into it in the books or not, but I think the idea is like there's like some speculation that they're kind of like tardigrades or something. Like,
That's exactly what they got the inspiration is from.
Yeah. Super creepy.
Yeah.
If you think about it. But yeah, like the point is and the reason you'd think like, oh, if they're so small, they could easily stay here. Just give them a little shoebox or something. Like it'll be fine.
Oh, they actually explain that they're small in that show?
No, they don't. But in the show, they explain through the lying thing. So this is an interesting point. So we could shift gears here to lying. But yeah, so like you said, they don't know how to lie. And there are these humans that are like in communication with them in the present day. So like 50 years later, the present day,
there's a faction of humanity that's actively working with the aliens.
Yeah. They're like John the Baptist. They're like preparing the way for the aliens.
Yeah.
And he's like telling the alien this Little Red Riding Hood story, and the alien doesn't get it. Like, the alien is like, "Where is this house in the forest? Like, why is this wolf lying in a bed? Like, that doesn't make sense." And like, and finally, like, he explains to it that it's like, it's not true. It's like a fake story.
It's a fable.
It's a fable. And the aliens are like, you say things that are false. We cannot coexist with liars.
Yeah. Well, they don't even really understand the concept of lying until humans introduce them to it.
Yeah. Then they're like terrified because they realize like, oh my God, they could be totally walking us into a trap here.
Yeah.
That's no way of knowing.
Exactly. They realize that they could be so easily misled because they have never encountered lying before.
Yeah. It's so ironic that they learned that from the Little Red Riding Hood story.
Yeah.
Like, which is about, man, that was the first story he decided to read them. Brutal.
I don't remember if he does that in the books, but I do remember them being like mind blown by the concept of lying.
Yeah. And so, so that's interesting. So they say like, look, we cannot coexist with liars, a species that lies. And that does this. Any species, it seems like they think anyone that can do this is too risky to try and live with them. So again, like, do we sympathize with the Trisolarans or the Santi or whatever we want to call them? Does it make sense for them to not want to coexist with us? If they have no concept of lying, they encounter this, a species that does this, why wouldn't they think we are evil and should be exterminated?
I think they do think that.
Yeah. Yeah. And are they right? Isn't there like a little sense in which they're right? Like, we are pretty bad.
Well, imagine how repulsed you would be as like to discover that about a species when you had no prior knowledge of something like lying, like
deception,
how repulsed you would feel by that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like especially from them, where it's like their survival as a species depends upon all of them towing the line and being in perfect order with each other.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember, like, I gotta reread these books because I'm getting all these events misordered in my head. Tell me more about how the show actually plays out.
Okay. Well, in the show, the aliens find out, like, they hear the Little Red Riding Hood story and they immediately like cease contact with the humans who were preparing the planet for them.
Right.
Like, they cut them off immediately and cease contact. And then somehow, or with their Sophon technology, somehow they
The Sophons have been, or they're already, obviously, that's how they're talking to them.
Yeah. Yeah. So
we should probably explain what a Sophon is. There's not aliens on Earth at this point. They're still 400 light years away, but they have, through quantum entanglement, essentially established like a walkie-talkie system between planet Earth and themselves that is just instantaneous because of quantum physics. And yes. These Sophons are you can't be detected because they can go down to whatever.
They're protons.
They're the size of nothing. And they can be everywhere. I don't know how many Sophons there are, actually.
There's just two.
There was just two at the beginning.
There's two at Earth and two back at Trisolaris.
Right.
And they're entangled. But
these things could potentially be listening to every single thing that's being said anywhere on the planet, right? You just don't know if it's in the room with you. So that plays into that's a huge hindrance. They're also, isn't one Sophon dedicated to messing up all the physics experiments humans try? To try and halt their progression, technologically speaking?
Both of them are, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they can't synchronize experiments.
They can't they can't get the same result on any experiment because the Sophons are messing with it. And they also can never be sure that the aliens aren't listening to everything they're saying, which is a huge factor in the story.
Yes. And the Sophons are also supercomputers. And this is like interesting. They explain this in the show. I guess we can't get into all the dimensional stuff. That's too much. But anyway, so then they hack into all the screens and they display the message that says, "You are bugs."
Yeah.
To the people of Earth. You are bugs. And very interesting choice to reveal themselves so publicly, but that's what they say. They say, "You are bugs. You're an infestation. You're out of control. You have to be exterminated."
Yeah, basically, just the ultimate threat.
And
fighting words is what they were.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, on some level, I'm like, yeah, I can see that we are a bit out of control. I can see that. I sympathize a little bit with the Trisolarians. I don't think I would be on their ship, though. This is the ship in the Panama Canal that gets carved up.
Oh, you know. So does that scene happens in the show?
Yeah,
because that part blew my mind when I was reading it in the books. I'm wondering how how well they pull it off.
It's done really well. It's done really well in the show. Yeah,
because that was a pretty epic, pretty epic moment in book one. And there's there is a similarity to a major event in book two that happens that when I was reading it, I was drawing a lot of comparisons towards that from that event and another major event that happens later on that I don't think is in the show yet. Anyway,
no space battles in the show.
Okay.
So anyway, so these people, there are these alien sympathizers. The aliens even call them bugs and everything. So the aliens hate them. So yeah, I can kind of sympathize with the aliens. Humans do really awful shit to each other and to the environment. And I could see how if we were an alien species and we encountered ourselves, I bet we would also be like, yes, exterminate them.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised at all if aliens would be quick to judge us and wipe us out.
No, me neither. We're definitely not a mature species as far as mature enough to engage in the cosmic society.
No. No, we're too busy shitting and wiping with our hands.
Yep. We're just now the bidet is becoming popularized in the West. That's way too long.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to take our buttholes into the 21st century.
I'm going into the 21st century butthole first, personally.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about this ship thing. So this is one of the big things in the show is all of these people who want to help the aliens wipe out humanity are on this boat, and it's going through the Panama Canal, and the government decides this is the time to strike and wipe out their organization and seize their their files, their records, their communications, recordings of their communications with the aliens.
Yeah.
So they do this, but the cost of doing this is that the way they do it has to kill everybody on the ship.
Yeah, and in a crazy way too.
And this includes children, men, women, children. It's like a whole Scientology ship thing. It's like The Master. It's like the ship from Philip Seymour Hoffman in The Master.
Yeah.
He has like his whole cult thing and all their kids and their families are on the ship together. That's like what this is.
Have you ever seen those things they use to make spaghetti where it's just a bunch of strings pulled across two pieces of wood and then they push the dough through and it becomes spaghetti? That's basically how they kill all these people.
Yeah, it's so, so brutal. But without getting too much into it.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yes. Terrible. But what's the line about Voldemort? Things, but great. Something like that. But anyway, so there's a big ethical debate about this. Was it morally right to kill all the men, women, and children on this ship just to get voice message recordings between the cult leader and the aliens? And this is a big debate in the show and probably in the books too, I think.
Yeah, I got to reread these books because I remember the major points, but I'm trying to, I can't remember like the you know, moral dilemmas specifically on all of them.
Yeah, so specifically here, the scientist whose technology is used to kill everybody on the ship and also like dismantle the ship at the same time.
Yeah.
She is like pissed because her technology killed men and women and children.
Oh, interesting. I'm like 9% sure it's a man in the books that has that technology developed. But I heard that the show does combine like three characters into one character quite often.
Oh, yeah, probably. So she's like extremely upset about this, considers it totally wrong, and quits the team basically because of this.
And, now, what was the team? They haven't done the wall spacers program.
No, not at this point. No.
Okay.
No. But the argument is that they have to do that. They have to kill them because they have to get it. And this is the only way they can get it without, like, having it destroyed at sea or something and lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they have to.
They have to get this. This basically this hard drive, right?
Yeah. So they basically have. They want to get a hard drive.
And that's part of the problem is they need to destroy the ship while preserving the hard drive.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason they went with that exact method of destruction.
Yeah. So the question is it that necessary? Like, should they have done that? Should they have killed everyone on the ship to get this hard drive? Is the question.
And why, I forget, was there a specific conversation they were worried about that they had, or they just wanted all of the records of it?
That's a good question.
Like, what were they worried that the humans, I forget what they were called, their organization that was working with the aliens, what were they worried that they were telling the aliens that the aliens didn't already know?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly. Maybe they want to know what they've told the aliens, or
I feel like in the books there was like a specific piece of information they wanted to either they needed to know if the aliens knew, or they were worried that the aliens were giving this group of people basically an edge technologically by telling them things about physics and stuff that the humans could no longer figure out because of the SOFON interference.
Yeah. Okay. Here I found it on Wikipedia. Wade's team located data disk and tried to decrypt it. They played their recording of Santi's confusion over humanity's ability to lie. They opened a data disk. The file explains how the Santi use high dimensional proton super. So it explains the SOFONs.
Mm-hmm.
So they learned from this all about how the Santi or the Trisolarians are projecting the countdowns onto people's eyes.
I see. So they didn't know any of that until that point.
No, they didn't know any of that until this point. So this is when they learned everything about the SOFONs and everything like that.
Interesting. So I'm wondering why the SOFONs couldn't have warned them about what was about to happen on the Panama Canal.
It's because... Well, in the way the show is doing it, in the previous episode is when they discover lying. They have the whole lying thing in the previous episode where the Santi are talking to the guy on the ship, and he tells them Little Red Riding Hood, and they're like, we can't coexist with you, and they cut off communication.
So they just
have stopped protecting them at that
point. Okay, I see.
They've lost protection. And so that's
when, that's they really struck. Hate liars, huh?
Yeah, damn, brutal, eh?
I do Good. Think at some point they do learn how to lie themselves, though.
Oh, okay. Maybe but in the past someone lied about the sun cycles or something.
I forget. Because I want to know how much is in the show without... I mean, I guess this is just spoilers for the whole series, this conversation. But because at some point in the books, the aliens have an android known as SOFON takes a human form, and that's who they use to basically subjugate humanity.
Wow, that's
and
fun.
Her name is SOFON, and she's like viewed as this like god at some points and then this absolute demon at other points, but she is the human representation of the Trisolarans as a whole on Earth.
Yikes.
Yeah,
yikes. Is she like really big?
No.
Oh, okay.
She's just a normal sized human with incredible powers. Oh. I forget the details around her, but I know that she basically becomes like this complete psychopath.
Psychopathic android?
Yeah, I'm trying. Oh, fuck, it's amazing how much I actually forget about this trilogy considering how good it was. I forget if I know she is some sort of robot. Maybe she's made up of nanobots or something. But she is the human representation. I mean, she's supposed to be the aliens speaking to the humans face to face in a human form.
Oh, they have something like that in the video game. When they go into the video game, they talk to this woman dressed up like a samurai sort of.
Yeah, okay, that's her. But she's actually on the physically on planet Earth later on.
Okay. Yikes. Well, she's got a samurai sword, so rest in peace.
She has that sword in the books, too, and oh, she's Jesus. Not afraid to use it.
All right. Yeah, so this is like a similar question to Oppenheimer, I guess, where it's like, do we kill all of these people to maybe prevent tons of other people from dying? It's one of those questions.
Yeah.
And not a very fun one.
No.
And in this one, it's like, if they hadn't done that, then they wouldn't have learned about the Sophons and all that kind of thing.
And that would have been, they would have had zero chance of having any sort of resistance against the aliens if they never found out that the Sophons are literally listening and watching everything that they do.
Yeah. Now, I will be honest. A few things I did not understand were why they didn't use some sort of gas to knock everybody unconscious or something like that.
Do discuss that in the book.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah. They go over like pretty much every scenario you can think of, and there's always a reason why they can't do it.
Right.
And that was one scenario, and I forget what the reason was, but basically they can't risk one of them destroying that hard drive.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so then, that's a tough ethical question. Killing children is always a pretty tough one.
Yeah.
It's not from a utilitarian perspective, it's fine because you're preserving more happiness by potentially saving humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you're not. Maybe from a utilitarian perspective, you should let the Trisolarans win because there's more of them. And so therefore, there's more happiness if they survive. So,
But is their happiness even equivalent to human happiness?
They can't lie. So
that was I know, good. But I also don't think they have a ton of art and culture because I think in the books, they don't learn about art until they get to Earth. Or not get to Earth, but until they're like...
Yeah, they're pretty like boring.
Yeah, they don't have any art and culture. And then when they discover humans' art and culture, they start making their own. And it is like way, way better. It's basically like the end game of AI-generated art. And a lot of I feel like, I don't know if the show really shows the scale of time that the three books actually cover, because it's like hundreds and hundreds of years on Earth. There's ever actual contact with the aliens. So like humanity goes through all these eras, they call them.
Right.
Where... in one of these eras, the humans and the Trisolarans are buddies. The humans decide that the Trisolarans are going to be able to live with them on planet Earth. And so then they all become friends for a while.
So do the Trisolarans, are they capable of like feeling pain or suffering? Do they have any analog to suffering?
I do believe they do.
They do, eh?
I think so. But I could be wrong. I forget.
So in that case, then they would have to be taken into account by utilitarians. If they're capable of suffering, then they count morally for utilitarians.
I feel like if they weren't capable of suffering, they wouldn't even bother trying to get off their planet.
True. Yeah. Because then if they have a drive to stay alive, that's kind of like avoiding suffering. Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so they would count morally. So if there's tons of them, morally speaking, if you're a utilitarian, it's hard.
Smaller.
But they're smaller, so maybe they can't really feel as much happiness.
See, in the books, they never reveal that they're any smaller than human beings. It's not until you get into the spin-off books that they actually mention that they're tiny.
Okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe like the individual ones aren't really capable of that much suffering or joy, so maybe they don't really matter that much morally speaking.
I mean, I feel like their society is pretty ruthless when it comes to anyone that doesn't fall in step.
Yeah, yeah. So it seems like, morally speaking, if you're a utilitarian, you should do things to preserve humanity rather than to preserve the Trisolarans.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're a utilitarian, you can write off, you can do the math and you can write off all the kids on that ship.
Yep.
You can write them off.
I will say this. If I recall, if it went down the same way as it did in the show and the books, it's not exactly a painful death, although it is gruesome.
It's pretty gruesome, yeah.
But it's not painful.
No. Yeah, so I think ultimately this shows that, like, some people, like, morally speaking, maybe it's justified because you need to do it to preserve humanity as a whole. And these, while they're innocent children, unfortunately, their bodies are in the way.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do, I guess.
Yeah.
But some people can't live with it.
I definitely not want to be the person to give that order, but.
Yeah, that's the guy in the show, Thomas Wade. Yeah, so there's a lot of ethical questions shown in the show. Like, they do have to do a lot of animal testing to figure out the cryogenics to send the brain to the Trisolaran fleet.
Right. That's a crazy plot point line too. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, I don't know how that goes down in the books, but it is really weird how it goes down in the show.
How does it go down?
It doesn't work. It fails.
Right. That does come to be, that become that experiment that they do with that guy's brain becomes a massive plot point in the third book.
Really? It comes back
around.
They
don't even talk about that until the third book. Like, that whole part where they send the brain out is not in the first two books. You don't learn about that even happening until the third book.
Damn. Okay. Yeah, so there's lots of questions on, like, what sort of atrocities are morally justified given the greater goal of preserving the human species as a whole. And it seems like you can do almost anything to preserve the human species as a whole, morally speaking.
It is kind of hard to think of anything that wouldn't be justified to save all of humanity.
So in a way that makes the moral questions kind of boring, because it's like, well, duh, like, you're in this situation, you have to save literally all of humanity. Like, what is the question here? What is the problem? And so it's kind of a boring question almost. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, it's evolution at play, buddy. You got to, you know, preserve your species. I think that's I mean.
What if you had to kill 49% to preserve 51% or something stupid like that?
If you had to?
Again, right?
We're splitting hairs here.
We're splitting humanity 49-51.
What kind of
or even 50-50? Half has to die for the other. The Trisolarans have to get half.
This half is the just planet. You mean Thanos? This is Thanos's plan.
Yeah, this is Thanos's plan, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, Thanos is going to kill all the people unless you kill half.
No, no, no. Thanos's whole thing was just let me kill half. That's all he wanted.
Oh,
he never had any plans to kill more than half.
I'm saying, suppose Thanos was going to kill everybody unless you agreed to kill 99%.
Yeah, I mean,
either Thanos kills everyone or you agree to kill 99%.
Ultimately, that's on Thanos, okay? That's not my...
But do you agree to preserve?
If the difference is 100% dying...
And you have no other option.
My hand has to touch the button?
Yeah. Because even though the 99% of humanity will be destroyed, you have the opportunity to save 1%, but you have to kill the other 99%.
I mean, I would do it because you're basically damning the entirety of humanity to annihilation if you don't do it. So it's pretty. Damn. It's not something I would like to do.
Right.
But, you know, that 1% can grow. Yeah. 0% cannot grow.
You miss all the shots you don't take. Yep.
Yes. You land amongst the stars.
So like, that's interesting, because that's like, to us, it seems like, yes, you have to do whatever you need to do to preserve at least some of humanity.
Yes.
I wonder if a antinatalist philosopher, that is a philosopher who thinks people should stop having children, they would probably disagree, because they think the human race needs to go extinct.
Okay, but that's like a really extreme opinion to have. Like,
yeah,
why does the human race need to go extinct? Because you think it's violent. Well, like I said before, it's becoming less and less violent as it evolves.
Well, okay. Yeah, that's true. I think here's one reason, another environmental reason, right? Like, you might say, look, humans cause so much suffering, not only amongst other humans, but also to the planet as a whole, including all the billions of animals who are killed every year. All around the world, for food consumption, from deforestation, from lab testing, putting chips in monkey brains, killing the monkeys.
Well, couldn't I just say that if humanity got eliminated, it would only be a matter of time before another species evolved to the point that humanity was at and started doing the same thing.
Yeah, and maybe in some way, some other way, yeah. Maybe, hey, it's like, hey, like, look, We're an asshole, but like, hey, it's someone else is going to do it too.
Exactly. If it's not us, it'll be some other stupid species.
Okay. But maybe not. Maybe not.
All you're doing is delaying the destruction. Life needs to consume.
What would take over besides humans?
Well, I would imagine that the apes would eventually take over.
Another species of ape
would evolve. Yeah. I mean, like, who's at the top of the food chain right now?
Besides humans?
Yeah. Who's the most capable of manipulating and adapting? Who's the most capable of adapting and reproducing their species? I feel like that's going to be some sort of prompt. Yeah, but insects don't require
microorganisms, fungus.
You need to have the potential to become self-aware, I feel like, in order to get to the point where you're destroying the entire planet again.
Here's something fucked up. Speaking of things taking over, destroying the planet, there's a big cicada event happening soon.
Yeah.
Where like trillions of cicadas come out of the ground.
Yeah.
And
America, right? They're coming up from South America through North America.
No. They live underground.
When they hatch and fly.
No, they just crawl up the trees that they hatch under. They don't really journey anywhere.
They don't migrate?
No. Oh. They crawl up and they fuck and then they die.
Oh, and, wow, living the dream.
Every 17 years.
And where does this occur?
American South.
Well, that's going to be definitely a sign of the rapture as well. Can't wait
This
for
is
that.
A mega event, yeah. But here's the crazy thing. They have discovered that these cicadas that are emerging are infected with one of these zombie fungi.
Fungus. Oh no.
And this zombie fungus, it's so fucked up. It turns them hypersexual, but it does so by destroying it. Their genitals drop off.
Oh my God.
And the fungus head, like the mushroom head, comes out of where their genitals used to be.
What?
Like this big puffy mushroom head comes out their ass, it looks like, basically.
is that where you got the idea for that joke you were doing for a bit where the mushroom was growing out of your asshole?
Oh, no. I didn't know about that at the time. That was from a dream I had.
That was a premonition about this event happening.
Maybe. And so it knocks off their genitals, fall off. So like a third of their body is now a mushroom head.
Mm-hmm.
And it also releases an amphetamine into them. And this makes them go hypersexual. So they still try to mate. The males will still try to go and have sex with the females, even though they don't have genitals.
Mm-hmm.
But what they end up doing is rubbing the fungus spores all over them. And then the males will also pretend to be females to attract other males. So that the other males come and fuck the mushroom heads and get the spores all over them as well.
Goddamn transgender. So
it spreads through like a hypersexual orgy. But the cost of this sexually transmitted fungus is your genitals fall off.
Ugh. that's too high of a cost. I don't care who you are, where you're from.
It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine that could easily happen to humans. Easily.
Well, I will say that
conceptually, I mean, maybe not like physically, but conceptually,
this event is going to have a conspiracy theory burst in the South for sure.
Oh, the sexual
apparently
fungus
a bunch
thing?
Of people were convinced that the rapture was happening on the eclipse day on April 8th.
This just happened.
I know,
like 6 years ago.
I know,
like,
but it was apparently it was a trending thing that all the conspiracy theorists, best, like, you know, the QAnon types.
Oh my god,
were 100% sure that this was going to be Rapture Day.
They happen all the time. Like,
I know.
You know, in Dune Part 2, the eclipse shot.
Yeah,
that's a real shot of the eclipse from Jordan, country of Jordan. That was a real eclipse that they filmed for Dune 2.
Yeah, and but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
No,
to these people,
you can't even share news. Can you share news on Facebook in the States still? You can't.
Yeah,
in Canada.
You can.
Still, eh?
Yeah.
In Canada, you can't.
That's until the Liberals get voted out, which will almost certainly happen next election.
Yeah, I've like completely lost faith that anything matters in Canadian politics.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
It is the same shit.
Yeah. Hope. I mean, yeah, I don't notice any difference between who's in office. I really don't. But
as long as the conservatives don't do what they're doing in the States and try to repeal existing civil rights.
No, I mean, I'd like to say that
I will never vote for them just because I know that that's what they want to do deep down.
The conservatives?
I think so. I think even in Canada, I think deep down they would like to, but
I don't know. Our friend who listens to this podcast, Mike Corcoran, didn't he once say, I think he told me that our conservatives are like the American Democrats.
Yeah, they are. They are pretty much.
I think that we as Canadians are a little bit less tribalistic, a little bit less tribalistic. It's always loud. What's that?
Tell that to Quebec and Calgary.
I don't think of Quebec or Calgary. Who knows? I mean, the Liberals have been in office for over 8 years now, right?
Yeah, it's about time.
It's like it's not great to have the same leadership in place for that long, no matter what your views are.
No, but I mean, it's like, I guess I do get scared because of how rabidly insane the Republican Party is in the States.
Yeah, I don't think that would happen if the conservatives got voted into Canada. Like, Canada still has, yes, lots of people have also gone insane, but not nearly to the extent that people have in the U.S.
No, like, they haven't done any election lie stuff or anything like that, fortunately.
No.
Like, I saw, what was this? This thing I saw. Oh yeah, so you know Matt Gaetz?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
so
a pedophile guy, right?
Yeah, so he's the leader. This is how insane the Republican Party is right now. He's like the leader of it's called the Freedom Caucus.
Right. That's with like Marjorie Greene Taylor. Holy shit, does she ever make me angry?
Yeah. Lauren Boebert, yeah, that whole crowd, right? The trashiest people from your high school.
Literally the trashiest, yes.
Yeah. And so he has been like instrumental in getting the voting out the House the Speaker of the House, who has been a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
He like got Kevin McCarthy. He voted out. He caused his own Speaker of the House to be voted out, throwing the whole House into chaos. And they're always threatening to do this. And the reason why he did that was because the House Speaker didn't want to influence an ethics investigation into Matt Gaetz sleeping with a minor.
Oh my god, that is so fucking gross.
Gross on both of their parts.
Yeah.
Yeah, for not exposing him but that's like, and then that shit has huge, like, voting out the speaker has huge consequences.
Well, now we have this freaking Mike Johnson guy who legitimately gives me like serious psychopath vibes.
Yeah, he has a thing on his phone where if he looks at porn, it emails it everyone. He has spyware on his phone where if he looks at porn, it emails all of his contacts that he looks at porn.
See, you got to have a real problem to put that on your phone. That's what I think.
Well, you know what I think? I think Mike Johnson has two phones.
Yeah, no shit. No fucking shit. Okay. Well, that's our episode.
Yeah.
I am going to try and watch this Three Body Problem TV show. I'm just happy that it's actually quality.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it's not great. It's not perfect. It has its issues.
But I've heard from a lot of fans from the books that they enjoyed it. So that to me is a win in itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it overall.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
See ya.